To the book of Psalms, chapter 144, and we're going to read the whole chapter, Psalms 144 and verses 1 through 15, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I desire your prayers this morning. I preached or taught one Tuesday twice. I had the radio. I filled in for Brother Kyle Tuesday night, and then was here Wednesday night, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night preached, and then this morning. And last night, I told the church, I said, I cannot even remember the last time I preached on a Saturday night. That's the thing. It just about even churches that have all week long revival services don't usually go through Saturday night, but we went and preached last night and had a good time. So I desire your prayers. Let's read verses 1 through 15 and then we'll pray. The Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full according all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for your blessings, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to be back one more time, and I pray for thy help. I pray for thy strength this morning, physically, but most of all spiritually. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would turn our hearts as thy people unto thee in revival, in praise. Lord, I pray for our nation, our country. I pray that there would be a calming of people's tempers and attitudes. I pray, Lord, that we could come together as a nation and give our new leadership an opportunity to do the things they said that they would do. I pray, Lord, that there would be no more violence in our streets. I pray there'd be I pray there'd be revival in our country. Lord, that's our greatest need. Your word says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." We pray for souls to be saved. We pray for lives to be changed. And you, I pray you'd help us to be the light and the salt that we're called to be in this day and time in which we live. So, Lord, help us this morning. I pray you'd give liberty. I pray you'd give freedom of thought. And I pray your will would be done in our hearts. We'll thank you. We come and ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Now, Psalms 144 is a very
interesting passage of Scripture in God's Word. I've read it many, many times, and some of it I know by heart, but I do not believe I've ever preached from it before. But I want us to go back and begin and read in verse number 10 and verse number 11 just to get us started this morning. It is a psalm of David, David being the king over Israel, and he's praying here. And he prays to the Lord, and he says, "It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. There's no kingdom, there is no nation upon the face of the earth today that is without problems." And although King David was a good king, he was definitely blessed by the Lord in everything that he did, but he was no exception as well. He had problems in his kingdom. He had people that hated him. He had people that wanted to do him wrong. And he prays here in Psalms 144, and he asks the Lord to be delivered from the hurtful sword. There are those that would have liked to kill David. He prayed here and he asked that he would be delivered from the strange children. That's mentioned several times in this chapter, that he had a problem with the strange children, the strangers that was in his land, those who were not Israelites, those who did not worship the true God of heaven. And he said about them that one of the things that they did were they were guilty of speaking vanity and lies or falsehood. And so they were spreading division throughout the kingdom, and they were hurting David by the words that they spoke. And he said that they were falsehood, that they were lies that they were speaking. And so we begin to preach this morning, and we would also say this about our recent election. The election that we just had this past week, it ought to encourage us. It ought to encourage us as Americans today that our country has rejected some of the liberal, socialistic programs and agenda that's been forced upon us for years and years and years. It ought to encourage us today that no matter who you voted for or who you thought should have won, that it seemed to me like against all odds that we the people spoke and were heard. And people finally got enough together in this country to say, you know, the direction we're going in, the things that are going on, we're tired of it. I would have actually, I've been very depressed over the past several elections to the point that I wondered if it even mattered to vote anymore. If it even counted like it was supposed to. But it ought to encourage us, because here's the thing that happened in the election. Everybody that was experts on how it should have went got it wrong. You know, the people who conducted the polls and the people in the media, that all they do, I mean, their whole life is consumed with talking about elections and politicians and who's going to win. They were wrong. They thought they had it right. All the higher up in the high educational circles, all the politicians, they all were wrong. Which just lets us know that just because it's on the news doesn't mean they're in touch with what's going on in small town America. Just because they serve in Washington, just because they're on TV and might be a Hollywood star, that does not mean that they represent the common folk. And I believe, and it's my opinion, that the common folk spoke and we're heard. And it ought to restore some hope today that we the people still have a voice. Now, what I want to preach on out of Psalms 144, I want to preach on this subject, hope for America. hope for America. For the first time in a long time, I'm hopeful, more hopeful than I've been in a long time for America. And I want to show you from the Bible why. David, in the midst of adversity and danger and all kinds of problems in his being the king, David was hopeful in some things. And I want to show you from God's Word this morning why we can be hopeful no matter who's in charge. I'll just say this, our hope is in the Lord. David realized and understood that. But David also had some hope in some other things, and I want to point those out towards the end of the chapter. First of all, this morning let me say that there is hope for America. There is hope in our sons and in our daughters. Look in beginning in verse number 11. Verse number 11 is the prerequisite to what he asked for in verse number 12. Now, what I mean by that in verse number 11, here's what he says. He says, rid me. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Rid me. He had some problems that he'd like to get rid of. And he said, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And then in verse 12, it says, notice verse number 11 is not a period. But the sentence goes on. And so he says, rid me in verse number 11. And in verse number 12, he said, that our sons, that our daughters. He's asking God to get rid of some things. That our sons and our daughters, that our sons, verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And so let me say this morning that our future in this country, our hope in this country, there is a lot dependent upon our young people. Our sons and our daughters. Let me say, the young people this morning, that puts a lot of pressure on you. Our country is dependent upon our young people. And it's not just in church. It is in church, but it is across the board. We've got to have our youth. We've got to have our young men and our daughters, our ladies. The military today, for example, is not looking for old men like me to join up and come to take a part. In fact, once you get past a certain age, they don't even want you in the military anymore. They realize that their hope, the hope of our military strength, lies squarely upon the backs of our young people. That's who they want. They want youth. They want strength. They want spirit. They want our young people to come. Not me. Not a lot of you. We've done our part. It's dependent. Our careers to be filled. Our civic leadership positions to be filled. We're looking to our young people. Our churches are looking to our young people. And as we think about that this morning, I admit that when you watch the television, and you see the young people all across our nation rioting in the streets, burning the flag, listening to Jay-Z. Some of you don't even know what that is. He's just a foul mouth, rotten mouthed rapper, hip hopper, I don't know. Listening to some of that stuff would make you say, oh my goodness, there's no hope. There's no hope for the youth of our country. Sometimes I see the way they dress. Well, I sure didn't dress like that. It's funny how fashion, every generation has its own thing. In the 70s, they wore jeans that they called them bell bottoms. And you know, the bigger the bell bottom, it seemed like the bigger a hippie they were. And in our day, they just turn them upside down, and the narrow part is at the bottom, and the big part's at the top. So they call them skinny jeans, but I think they're bell bottoms upside down. But I just see things, and you know, it'd be very easy to look today and frown great big and pull our eyebrows down and shake our head and say, boy, I look at the young people and there's no hope for our country. But I want to tell you something this morning. Every generation has done that to the following generation. For those of you that grew up in the 50s, I'm telling you, your mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas, they didn't have a whole lot of hope that you was going to amount to anything. You was out here listening to Elvis Presley and all the Beatles come over here and invaded our land. And boy, I'm telling you, that older generation looked at that and they looked at long hair and they looked at protests going on and all of that stuff, and they said the same thing. Our nation's doomed. The young people are not like we were. They'll not be able to carry on. They don't have it in them. But I want to encourage you this morning. Not all the young people are out burning the streets down and tearing up businesses and rolling over cars and burning flags. I'm telling you, there's some good young people in our country. And I want to encourage you this morning. I appreciate our young people. There's some, they're not all on the college campus protesting and running around and doing all kinds of things. There's a lot of them that are over there just trying to work hard, get their work done, please their mom and dad, and get out here and make something of themselves in society. And I appreciate that very much. There's a lot of good young people in our churches. I was encouraged this week. I preached in revival and they didn't have a lot in the church over there, but they had some good young people. I'm telling you, they had a young man could come up and probably in his 20s, early 20s, I'm sure, and just come up there and played that piano. I mean, it'd bless your heart and sing. My goodness, what a blessing. Not everybody sold out to the devil. There's a lot of them wants to do right, raised right, want to live right, want to do right. That's our hope. That's our hope. And the young man got done singing and he went down and the pastor got up and he said, right there's one of our future leaders in the church. That's our hope today. There's hope. There's hope in our sons. There's hope in our daughters. Don't give up on them. Encourage them. Everything that we do that invests in our young people is a good investment. Yes, clubs in the elementary schools. Praise the Lord for that. Some of our younger adults that have children now working with the elementary schools, working with these young people. Buddy, I'm telling you, that is a great investment in our future. The college ministry, the Christian home. Well, we ought to encourage these things. These are important things. These are good things. David had a whole lot of problems in his kingdom. He had a whole lot of strange children, and they were trying to tear down every good thing that David was doing. But he said, rid me of that, that our sons, that our daughters may flourish. There's hope in our young people. That's the church of tomorrow. That's the leaders of tomorrow. We have a great responsibility to do all that we can to encourage our young families and to try to help them and to try to be there for them. And we are for them. David was for them. I want you to know, young people, this morning, we are for you. That's our number one responsibility. We want our children to be successful. We want to see them serve the Lord. We want to see them get saved by the grace of God. There's hope in our sons and in our daughters. Number two, I look down in verse number 13, and David said this, there is hope in our supply. Look what the Bible said in verse number 13. It said, that, here's another that, rid me that our sons and our daughters. Verse 13, that our garners may be full according all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. What was David talking about there? He was talking about the natural resources of the country. He said that our garners may be full. That was the place where they would store their grain, their food. He talked about their sheep there in verse number 13, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. He was talking about their livestock. He was talking about their animals. Do you know our country this morning is so blessed? We are blessed above and beyond many other nations in the world. I mean, we are blessed physically. We just look across our country. I think about that song that talks about, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. And I think about America and all across our great land, God has blessed us. You can go to the water fountain and get a drink of water about anywhere you go in America, and you don't have to worry about getting sick. It's really funny that we buy water. It's free most places. And there's not a thing wrong with it. Might have a little chlorine in it sometimes. Abigail came home last week and visited, and one of the first things she did when she got in the house, she came in, put her stuff down, and she came back through the kitchen, and she got her a glass, and she said, I'm going to get me a big old glass of that good well water. Come right out of the earth, right behind our house. We're blessed. We're blessed with food. We're blessed with rich soil. We are blessed with coal. We're blessed with oil. We're blessed with natural gas. There is no reason under the sun why we in America should have to go anywhere in the world, especially to those countries that hate us so much, and say, could we have some oil, please? I've never understood that. Forget them. Let them keep their oil over there. We've got everything we need right here in this country. And if we would allow it in this country, you could drive a big old diesel truck and probably get 50 miles to the gallon. The only ones that keeps that away is the oil companies, because they make money off of 10 and 15 and 20 miles a gallon, and they know the little secret. Hey, there's plenty of that stuff. There's plenty of oil. There's plenty of gas. Plenty of coal. There's all kinds of energy. There's all kinds of resources that God has blessed us with in our nation. There is hope in our supply that God has blessed us with. We fed the world. We fed the world for generations. Any disaster anywhere in the world, who's first on the scene? America comes. In the 70s, Russia was about to starve to death. They had famine. They had crop failures. And our nation, who at that time, the Cold War was going on, and our nation sold our excess wheat to Russia to help feed our enemies. People criticize them. God's blessed us. We forgot how much God has blessed us with. There's strength in our supply, in the natural resources that we have. There's no reason this morning, other than just pure old government intervention, that all of our garners should not be full. I'll tell you, and I've said this before, the government couldn't solve a one-piece puzzle. You want to ruin something, you put the government in charge of it. You want to ruin the economy, you want to ruin health care, you want to ruin, you just let the government have its tentacles all over it, and it won't take long. Nobody can afford it, but they promise everybody can have it. That ought to make us scratch our heads and say something's wrong with this picture. We have plenty of supply. We fed the world for generations. We don't have to go begging anywhere in the world for anything that we need because we are so blessed right here in our own land. And David said, our hope is in our sons. Our hope is in our supply, that our garners may be full, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. And for generations now, all we've ever heard is we are going to overpopulate and we're going to die out and we're going to starve to death and we're running out of room. They're a bunch of liars. All you have to do is go down here to Charlotte, get on an airplane, 5 minutes in the air in any direction, and you look out the window and you'll see there's a lot of land in this country, but there ain't nobody there. We're told, you know, man, we're gonna starve to death. We're overpopulating the world. No, we're not. I went to Alaska a few years ago. I've been all over this nation. The government owns more land. It is the largest landholder in the country. And there's places out there that there's nothing on. The government comes along and says, no, you can't have that cattle here. That's food. David wasn't a vegetarian, by the way. And he wasn't gluten-free. He said, our garners may be full. And I'm not throwing off if you're gluten intolerant or whatever. But I'm just saying, they said, praise God, we got plenty of bread, we got plenty of sheep, we got plenty of resources, God's blessed us on every hand, we shouldn't be having all these problems from all these strangers. There's hope in our sons, there's hope in our supply, there's hope in our strength. Look at verse 14. He said that our oxen may be strong to labor. Now, if you study out oxen in the Bible, oxen are representative of, I don't want anybody to pass out when I say this, the oxen and the labor of the ox in the Bible is representative of hard work. There is hope in our strength. There is hope in our ability to work and have a workforce. And I scratch my head and I look at all these people on the streets that are rioting and they are mad and they are upset and they are destroying things. And I think to myself, don't they have jobs? Don't they have? And I think the reason a whole lot of them are mad, because they maybe see a little bit into the future that the government teat is getting ready to be taken away. And it scares them to death that they might have to get out and work and the free ride is just about over. But work's a good thing. Work is a good thing. Now, there's a lot of people, they want jobs. And there ought to be plenty of jobs to be had. And there could be, if we cultivate a society that promoted that. There's strength in our workforce. Once upon a time in America, we were the world leader in manufacturing steel. We produced things, the greatest things in the world. Rockets going to the moon, spaceships orbiting the world and flying back in. And I mean, we made things with our hands. And there's pride in that. But somebody had the bright idea that we'd just become a consumer nation. And we ship our jobs and we ship our steel and we ship our lumber and our resources off to other countries and then buy it back from them. Amen. That's what we're doing in our country. Let me tell you, in a consumer nation, there's very little pride in that. In a consumer nation, you can go to school, you can go to college for 4 years and spend $40,000 or more dollars to get a four-year degree that's not worth anything. And you end up flipping burgers, you end up working at Old Navy. Now I see that is... That's pretty disheartening. Once upon a time, in our nation, there's plenty to do. Cars to make. I mean, we had to, you know, just look where we are. Would you rather have a 57 Chevrolet or a Toyota Tercel? Give me one of them, what they call muscle cars. That's our country. Once upon a time, everywhere you looked and things that people done, they were proud of what they did and they could hold their head high and they could say, look what we built. Well, look what we manufactured. Look what we have done in this country. That's still possible. There is hope in our strength. And we ought to get back to that. That gives you a sense of satisfaction like nothing else does to produce something. There's hope in our strength. There's hope in work. And there's nothing wrong with labor in our country. But we've got so lazy that we don't want to work. But you even get somebody out that's lazy and show them how to work, they'll even be satisfied in that. Look at that. I done that. I mowed that yard. I cut down that tree. I cleaned up that. And there's just some satisfaction in it. David said that our oxen may be strong to labor. There's hope in our strength. There's hope in our safety. Verse number 14, look what he said. He said that their oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Isn't it amazing how up to date the Word of God is? That there be no complaining in our streets. And that's exactly what we've got today. Why do we have so much complaining going on in our streets? Well, it's because there has been a breaking in. We in America have been invaded by strange children. The breaking in that he's talking about. Now, in Bible days, any city that existed for any amount of time had to have a wall. They had to have a border. The whole thrust of the book of Nehemiah hears the news from Jerusalem. The house of God has been built, but the wall is still laying on the ground. And Nehemiah got this great burden to go back and build the wall. He knew if the wall had not been built back around Jerusalem, that no matter what they did with the house of God, that they would be a sitting target to be invaded by whoever would pass by. Nehemiah knew how important it was to the nation to go back and build the wall and put the gates up and keep them locked at night, and only those that were supposed to be on the inside are on the inside, and to keep out everybody that shouldn't be inside. That's how they protected their country. And it's no different today. I am not against legal immigration, and we should not be. If I was from another country, I think I'd want to come to America. But I'm against being invaded. I'm against thousands and thousands of people flooding into this country. And they don't come to make it a great nation. They come to tear it down from within inside. That's what we are against. Come by all means, but come the right way. You got to come legally. You got to come and have in mind that I want to become an American. If somebody comes the right way, they have to do a whole lot of things, but they have to learn about our nation and our history and our Constitution and Bill of Rights, and they have to pass a civics exam. Those that would come to destroy and to divide ought not to be welcome. Those that would come and bring crime and all of these things, they ought to be shipped back where they come from and slam the door and don't ever let them come back again. And wherever they come from, send them a bill for sending them back. I'm just saying, that's just common sense. But in America, we've lost our common sense. Yeah, did you hear all them celebrities and people that said, they said, if Donald Trump gets elected, I'm going to move to Canada. Miley Cyrus said that. I wish she'd moved to Canada. And Whoopi Goldberg said that. And Rosie O'Donnell said that. And Al Sharpton. And there's a whole bunch of people said, if he wins, I'm moving to Canada. Well, I got news for him. Canada don't want him. And if they think they're just going to move to Canada, they don't understand how the world works, because Canada has laws. And to get into Canada, you got to be sponsored. I don't know they'd find anybody to sponsor them in. And it takes about 10 years to become a citizen in Canada. And you got to check in with your immigration officer every month. And you have to make money, and you have to be wanted. I don't know anybody would want them. Here's the thing. Other countries have laws that you got to come the right way. Try to just go and ride down into Mexico and set up residence, and don't see if you find yourself in a pickle of a problem. But our country's lost our mind. We just open up a flood for an invasion of people that don't like our way of life. And really would like to destroy every good thing we stand for. But let me say, David knew there was hope in their safety, that there be no breaking in nor going out. Going out to have to fight people that would come. That there be no complaining in our streets. Let me say, this morning, we need secure borders. No doubt about that. We need a strong military. See, for years and years, our military has been being stripped of its strength and being turned into a social experiment. That's not for the good of our country. David said in verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." He knew that it was absolutely necessary in the country that they have a strong leadership. They have a strong military. Their hope was in that. That there be no complaining in our streets. But last of all, this morning, let me show you the real heart of the matter is in verse number 15. And all these other things we've looked at, but really it boils down to verse 15. There's hope in our sovereign. Talking about our Lord. He said in verse 15, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." That's where our strength lies. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "Safety is of the Lord." Our real hope, our lasting hope, our future hope is not in an individual. Shame on us this morning if we would look at whoever had become president and said, "All right, they're going to fix everything." No, they're not. Our hope is in the Lord. Only the Lord can fix the mess we've allowed our country to get in. We've got a lot of problems in our country. I'm telling you, we need the Lord. Look what David said in verse number 2. He said, "My goodness and my fortress." He's talking about the Lord. We're not good in and of our own self. We're everything but good. Any good thing that can be talked about today comes from the Lord. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. When David was talking about the Lord, he likened the Lord. The Lord was better than the army, the air force, the marines, all rolled up together. He said, "The Lord." That's where my hope is. That's where my defense is. That's where my high tower is, that I look out and see if the enemy's coming. He placed his hope in the Lord. And that's where we've missed it in America for a long, long time. We've allowed government to become our Lord. We've allowed and looked to government to become our God, our provider, our fixer of problems. People look to the government to fix everything, knowing down deep in their heart they can't fix anything. They only make it worse. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in that God gave us some common sense that among all people, we ought to know what's best for us. Just give us the freedom to do what's best for us. Give us the ability to work with our hands and follow our dreams and do what God wants us to do, where we don't have to go and work at the college or at the county or at the state government just so we can have insurance, just so we can make ends meet. America ought to be a place where if you want to be a dressmaker, if you want to be a farmer, you ought to be able to go out and work and do and build cabinets or do whatever it is that you God has called you in your heart to do, and you ought to be able to make it, and you ought to be able to go to the doctor, and you ought to be able to pay for it right then, and you shouldn't have to just in order to survive. It used to be that way. You say, oh, it couldn't be that way. Well, it used to be that way. Used to be that way that you could go to the doctor and you could have a child and pay for it. We paid for Noah back there. You know, that's not been that long ago. But now, my goodness, you break your arm, you're going to be in debt for 5 years. Government messed that up. Our hope is in the Lord. Where our hope ought to be in the Lord today. And the Bible said in verse 15, happy is that people. Oh, let me tell you, we've got everything under the sun today. But we're not a happy people. If things made you happy, shouldn't America be the happiest place in the world? We've got things coming out our ears. We've got things falling out of our cars when we open the door. Amen. If you open my door, be careful. Toys is going to fall out. Stuff. If stuff made you happy, we ought to all be just thrilled to death. You can't give stuff away. Stuff. I went to a local ministry a while back, and Kim had a yard sale, and what are you going to do with all this stuff when it's over? And I said, hey, if you have it, the only thing, do not bring it back in the house. I don't care what you do with it, throw it in the dumpster, I don't care. You can't do that, it's good stuff. I went to a local ministry. I said, what time do you close? And they said, why? What have you got? And I said, well, my wife is having a yard sale. And that man in that ministry that they thrive on donations, he said, we don't want yard sale stuff. But that made me unspiritual. He said, if you can't sell it for a yard sale price, we sure can't sell it. I wanted to say, and I didn't say anything. I just turned around and walked out. That made me mad. I wanted to say, but you don't know, she's not good at yard selling. She don't know how. She's giving stuff away. She hadn't advertised. She stinks at it. This is good stuff. Well, she'll get me for that. But now, my mom's an expert. You can't give stuff away. If stuff made you happy, we'd be running around the church shouting, but we're the most unhappy people in the world. The Bible said, happy is that people that is in such case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And that is not Allah. That is Jehovah God. Used to be in America, people could be happy and come to church barefooted and run around all summer long and not even have a pair of shoes to wear, but walk up the road praising God and come in the door shouting. And now we come in heated, air-conditioned vehicles and we barely get a grunt out of us. And that's in the church. It's no wonder the world's so unhappy. We owe it, I'm preaching this morning, we owe it to our nation to do all we can to make sure that in our lives, in our homes, in our church, that God is the Lord, and the world sees the evidence of that on what? On the smile on our face, no matter come what may, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Because God's our Lord. If I've got everything or if I've got nothing, I ought to be thrilled to death because I've got the Lord in my heart. Because when I die, I'm going to heaven. But look how much He's blessed me on top of just that. Just that. God has blessed us so much. We owe it to our nation. We owe it to the Lord. To be thankful. Thankful for all the blessings. Thankful for another chance. To basically start over. What we've been doing is not working real well. Let's try something else. Let's put God first this time. Let's put God first. You say, what can I do about that, preacher? Pray. Live it. Proclaim it with our mouth. Proclaim it with our lives. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate your good attention.